there is an America this morning composed of mothers who got up early this morning because it was Sunday, who faithfully, lovingly prepared breakfast for a family. There is an America this morning composed of fathers who opened their checkbooks this morning and wrote a check for 10% of the income of the family and more. With thanksgiving to God, they brought that check to present it to God at His house today. There is an America this morning where mothers and fathers dressed little boys and girls and tied little shoes and wiped little snotty noses and washed little dirty faces early this morning and put little clean clothes on about 8 o'clock this morning. And then about 8:30 changed those clothes that were clean 30 minutes before and put new clothes or clean clothes on the little children. There is an America this morning where families came to Sunday school. Dad taught a boy's class, and mother taught a girl's class. And maybe Dad takes the offering, and maybe mother sings in the choir. And while we sit here this morning, that America is worshiping our God just as we are, even as we are today. There is an America this morning where faithful men of God stand up and preach. And people that have the same spirit and believe the same Bible and love the same God and have the same principles our founding fathers had still worship as they did. There is that kind of an America this morning. There is an America this morning that's patriotic and still loves the flag, still loves to sing God Bless America. There is an America this morning that still tingles when they sing, O beautiful, for spacious sky, for amber waves of grain, for purple, mount majesties above the fruited plain. There is an America this morning that still loves to stand and sing, My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. There's still an America this morning that loves our national anthem, that feels that communists ought to be registered instead of handguns. Amen. There's still an America this morning that believes in the principles of our land. And thank God there's some who are still willing to fight and live and die for those principles. There's still some people who are willing to say, give me liberty or give me death. All the folks who'd rather be dead than red are not gone yet. There is an America like that today. I was thinking this morning, more great churches are being built today than America's ever seen. More people will be saved this morning in churches across America than on any 4th of July Sunday in the history of this land. There are more great churches. I can recall 15, 20 years ago, a church that ran 2,000 in Sunday school was one of the one or two largest churches in the entire land. But young men of God, they've been raised up across this land, been challenged by a few others who've been at the helm a little longer. And all across this land, in practically every city of any size, and village and hamlet and countryside in this land, there's a fundamental, Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, hell-hating, sin-fighting, soul-winning New Testament church being raised up in America. There's an America today where more Christian schools dot our land than in any time in the history of our country. One of the most exciting things in America is the fundamental Christian schools where boys and girls can go to school and be taught this Bible is still the Word of God. Where boys and girls can go to school and be taught principles and decency. Where narcotics is outlawed and where smoking is against the rule and where there is still a dress code and a hair code and decency and patriotism and honor and Christ and soul winning and the Bible is honored above every other book. There's still an America like that today. There's an America today that is building more colleges, Christian colleges. One of the most exciting things I know today is the fact that, you know, a few years ago, You had to go to a public school or a Catholic school. But nowadays, while many of our Catholic schools, and I'm not taking time to rejoice in that this morning at all, I'm stating as a fact, while many of our Catholic schools are closing, there is today a great resurgence and a great upswing of building great fundamental Christian schools. And now, in practically every neighborhood in America, your child can go to a Christian school when he's in kindergarten and stay there till he graduates from high school and go somewhere not too far away to a Christian college where he can be taught the things that colleges used to teach. You know, somebody told me the other day that when John Adams was elected president of our nation, he was considered an outcast from Harvard University because John Adams was the first graduate of Harvard University that wasn't a preacher, and they almost disowned him from Harvard because he was the very first graduate from Harvard University that was not a preacher. Now, that's the kind of America we once had, and there is, bless God, a revival of that kind of America in 1976. There's an America today where more fundamentalists live than have lived in the history of our country. Even the liberal politicians admit there are 40 million fundamental Bible-believing people in America today. And yet there is another America today about which I wish I did not have to speak and about which our founding fathers did not have to speak. That other America is an America that the Supreme Court this week passed the ruling that your daughter can get pregnant and have an abortion and you don't even have to know it. Fly your flag at half mast, America. Several foolish men who call themselves supreme and sat on the court have declared that our daughters, a daughter, young girl, can get pregnant. And if her parents do not want her to have an abortion, she can't have the abortion without her parents' permission, and she can get pregnant and have the abortion without her parents even knowing what went on. I wish I didn't have to say it, but there's another America today. An America that in Kansas City, Missouri, you can dial a telephone number called Dial a Porn. A breathy, sexy voice will answer and tell you that she's in the nude and ask you to come over, and if you won't like her, she has others in the nude that perhaps you'll like one of them. There's an America today where in every city, there are nudes in restaurants. There's an America today where just a few blocks from where I stand, you can walk in, a man can walk in, give a female $3, she'll take off her blouse. I'm talking about in this area, in the Calumet region. Take off her blouse. Take off her underwear from her waist up, and nude from the waist up. Will give a man a shoe shine for $3. There is an America today where there are adult bookstores in every major city. There is an America today where in less than two blocks from where I'm standing now, nude females dance every week of the year. There's an America today where in a city less than 50 miles from where I stand now, the high school newspaper had 6 male nudes and 1 female nude. Frontal view of the 7 nudes on the front of the high school newspaper, and nobody stopped them. There's an America today where in our neighboring state of Illinois, the faculty and administration of the schools have no say-so legally over the school student newspaper. There is America today that is holding this morning, while I stand here, a convention of communists in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, endangering the life of our beloved Dr. Jack Van Impe. There's an America today where in dormitories, in universities, paid for as much by my money as by the liberals' money, paid for as much by the fundamentalist money as the liberals' money, where males and females share dormitory rooms, institutions built by our money. Now, brother, if those things don't make you mad, you ought to hit the mourner's bench this morning.
If your heart isn't beating faster and your blood isn't hot right now, there's something wrong with your spiritual condition. There's an America today where you can scarcely turn on a television set without hearing filth, sex, illicit sex, immorality, indecency, and things that would have shocked the hardest of sinners 35 years ago. There's an America today where on almost every newsstand you can walk up and see a dirty Playboy magazine or a rotten Penthouse magazine or a filthy gallery magazine where the average boy and girl in America, within walking distance of his own house, he can walk and see nude women in all kinds of sensuous, ungodly poses on the front of magazines in his own drugstore nearby or down the street. There's an America today where in just a few blocks from where I stand, less than a mile from where I stand, there's a movie where you can go and see sex acts committed. Nanny wrote me a letter and said we were unchristian because some of our folks were passing out tracts in front of his movie. I wrote back and told him, I'm sure I was glad he was finally getting concerned about being Christian. Means he'll close the place. There's an America today where pornographic literature, filth, cursing even in the newspapers, filth even in the funny papers, has become almost accepted, even by the best of us. There's an America today where a church in Tennessee was burned to the ground by enemies, was rebuilt, and burned again. There's an America today where a pastor's wife in North Carolina was defending her own son on his paper route from those who were threatening to kill him and do damage to him. And she shot and killed one who was threatening her own son. And now she's in jail without bond and can't even get out of jail with bond or bail. There's an America today where in Corpus Christi, Texas, a man spent 5 days in jail. What was his crime? Taking care of little boys and girls who need homes. What was his crime? Taking boys and girls that were on dope and gone into sin, hopeless and helpless, and whom the courts could not help, and the government could not help, and the schools could not help, and the country could not help, but Jesus could help. And that man, because he would not let the government tell him how to run his schools, just spent 5 days in jail. There's an America today where the Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, has lost its tax-exempt status for doing nothing that it hasn't been doing for half a century. There's an America today where our friends out at the Dyer Baptist Church are trying to build on property they own. And the city board would not let them build on property they own in a wonderful place and location for a church. There's an America today where in Chicago, Illinois, a lady who attends this church had her baby taken out of her lap and placed in a foster home. And that baby for three or four months has had an empty lap because her baby was taken from her by the government. Why? What did she do? She did what the Bible says to do. She spanked her child. Now, she spanked her child with her hand on his bottom, and for that awful, hideous crime commanded by God Almighty, and without which you can't rear decent kid. That's the crime she committed. In Vestal, New York recently, there's an America today where in Vestal, New York recently, a pastor was kidnapped from his study and taken and programized until he became a new personality, and he lost his entire memory and walked about with a new name and a new personality because they kidnapped him and programized him and made a new person out of him just because he preached against the devil. There's an America today where within a few miles of us on the east side over in Chesterton, Indiana, our beloved brother Roger Voltland and his people were indicted, and he and his press were indicted for what crime? For using a paddle in the classroom. Brother, that's the case. There'd be 50 folks in prison now for what they did to me when I was growing up in school. There's an America today where in Sherrillville, Indiana, a school bus from Hammond Baptist High School in grade school riding down the street after school
after delivering its load of students, was riddled by bullets. There's an America today when a young man walked guard around Hiles Anderson College, and then somebody came to set fire to the bridge over the little creek out there. And this young man, who was one of our security guards, tried to apprehend them. They kidnapped him and beat him and left him, they thought, for dead. He was unconscious and woke up the next morning. There's an America today where rumors are rampant about what might even happen to our freedom on the 4th of July. And where faithful men of God all across this nation who do nothing but trying to get folks out of hell and get folks to go to heaven are threatened and hated, maligned because of their stand for God. Suddenly, we're not living in the 20th century. Suddenly, it doesn't seem like this is America at all. We're at the stake with Huss and Savonarola. We share Patmos with the beloved John. We see new images in Dura and hear the crackling of flames for the modern Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We hear the roar of lions encouraging us not to pray with the windows open as Daniel did. We don't seem to be in America, do we? It's hard to realize, isn't it? Well, go to the average newsstand. It's hard to realize you're in America, isn't it? Walk down the street here on State Street and see that adult book, Hellhole, over here. It's hard to realize we're in America, isn't it? Walk down the hallway in one of our public schools and see if you don't feel like you're in some other country somewhere. Suddenly, we're not in America, it seems. We seem to be standing before a Cuban firing squad or facing a Russian prison. Seems like we hear the sharpening of Chinese swords. We see platters anymore. We need not think about reading a menu, but being on the menu. Fox's Book of Martyrs seems to be an incomplete manuscript these days. It seems like new chapters are about to be added. Something's happened. Which one is really America? Which one is really America? Is really America that country where moms and dads with faith in God and faith in this book teach their children to love country and obey parent and love God and serve God and be clean? Or is this motley crowd of revolutionaries that have tried to steal everything that's righteous and decent and holy and corrupt all of the minds of our boys and girls? One of them said to me, he said, if you don't like America, why don't you leave? I said, because I got here first, that's why. Our crowd got here first. And suddenly it's for real. It's no longer a game. Our battles against each other suddenly seem so trivial. Catacombs and Mamertine prisons seem more imminent than Holiday Inns and Howard Johnson's. We face the same enemy who made Richard Wurmbrand, kept him in prison. Don't you forget it, brother. A communist in America is like a communist in Russia. And while Mr. Ford talks about detente with Russia, don't let him forget Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 14 or 20, 15 or 16 years in a cell. Why? Because he loved and preached this blessed book that you and I love and preach. Richard Wurmbrand was preaching across America one day, and all of a sudden he started like that while he preached. And he preached a while longer, go like that while he preached. A little while longer, and he'd go like that while he preached. And after the service was over, one of the men came to him and said, Mr. Wurmbrand, why did you flinch several times while you preached? Mr. Wurmbrand looked at him and said, I'll tell you why. He said, because I was thinking about communion in prison in Russia. You let me say this, and please do not think I'm being irreverent or vulgar at all. I'm telling you exactly what happened. He said, I'd be in prison, and they'd come down and say, yeah, you're Christian, aren't you? And I'd say, yes. And they'd say, yeah, you believe the Bible, don't you? And I'd say, yes. He said, they said, yeah, it's time to have communion then. Christians have communion, don't they? And they took his own urine and gave it to him for the wine. And they took his own dung and gave it to him for the bread. That's the crowd you're having to talk with, Mr. Ford. That's the crowd you're having to talk with, Mr. Kissinger. Well, I know they put a few Baptist churches
and spread them across America and talk about the First Baptist Church in Moscow. I know they do that for storefront, boy, but you find out where the old-fashioned Bible-eating, born-again, blood-washed, redeemed Bride of Christ is today in Russia. You'll find them as the Christians were in days gone by, in prison, persecuted, being killed. That's what's going on today.
And that same influence has dedicated itself to the destruction of our land. We no longer hear the barbs of a Shimei. They don't concern us much. The guillotines of Nero seem to be more than that.
Rather be dead than red is no longer a slogan, but a possibility. And give me liberty or death is no longer a high school declamation speech, but a definite possibility in your lifetime and mine. Brother, sister, we're about here. We're about here. Gird your loins, Christians. We may have to stand up as our forefathers did. Gird your loins. We may meet in catacombs one of these days soon. Unless the America that you and I have known becomes the real America. Basic training is passed. Combat duty is here. Study hall is over. The final examination has come. Rehearsal is ended. The curtain is being pulled for the performance. Stones of Lystra are being gathered today for the Apostle Paul's, and the stones of Stephen's Gate are being gathered today for the modern day Stephens and deacons and preachers and Christians who will still live and die if needs be for the blessed Word of God and the truth of God. The question comes, which one is America? I can tell you which one was America. America wasn't founded by these liberal persecutors. America wasn't founded by the God is dead people. America wasn't founded by the co-educational dormitory crowd. America wasn't founded by the adult bookstore crowd. America wasn't founded by the Playboy crowd. America was founded
a group of people who met in Scrooby in northern England, the pastor James Robinson, and said, we'd rather die and be free than have security and be bound.
Those people, America was founded by people that went to Holland. And then 102, not finding what they wanted in Holland, got on the Mayflower and sailed from Holland to America. Sailed 65 days and buried four of their 102 people on that journey. What was America? America was a Mayflower compact with a prayer they prayed. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we bless Thee for having brought us over this vast and furious ocean to this new world. What was America? America was 100 people or so who landed and read the 107th Psalm that we read a while ago. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That's what they had in mind when they started this nation. What is America? America's a meeting at Plymouth, and Pastor Brewster led a handful of people in a 20 by 20 building. What is America? America's a land that was founded by a group of people who lost six in the first month they were here. And during the winter time, the first winter, one half of all, or every family tasted death in our land. What was America? America was a country that when the Mayflower returned, five women, all that were left, 20 men and 27 children stood with tears rolling down their cheeks, but with faith in God, and said, we'd rather be free than go back to slavery. We'll give our lives for freedom. There they stood, not a one of them, though they had the opportunity, boarded the Mayflower to go back to the slavery and security that they had known.
What was America? America was that first Thanksgiving when 90 Indians and 55 pilgrims read the 103rd Psalm that we read a while ago.
What was America? America was that 1963 Thanksgiving when every American citizen got his ration for food for that day, five kernels of corn.
Now the question comes, which one will be America? That all depends. There are two Americas today.
The black is getting blacker and the white is getting whiter. The free are getting freer and the enslavement is getting more serious. Now, there's one thing that will determine the future of this country. One thing and one thing only. Who wants America the most? There is a godly America and there is a godless America. There is a pagan America, and there is a Bible America. There is a heathen America, and there is a Christ-centered America. There is a decent America, and there is an indecent America. Who will prevail?
The one who cares the most. The America that gives the most. The America who works the most. The America who wants it the most. As long as people like are sitting in this room this morning won't give one half what the communists will give for their cause, you can rest assured we'll be the slaves and they'll be the enslavers. Some of you folks won't even come to church on Wednesday nights. You don't care what happens to America. Long as you've got your job, long as you've got your car, long as you can have picnic on the 4th of July, long as you can go out and play and live it up and have fun, you don't much care. But you wait, you wait, you wait. If you knew what I know this morning, you'd tremble in your seat. You say, can it be saved? That's what one of my daughters asked me last night. Can America still be saved? Yes, she can. When God's people get as concerned about standing for God and giving to God as much as the communist crowd is about trying to conquer the world with their godless pagan philosophy. You just don't much care, do you? As long as you can watch your edge of night and secret storm in the afternoon, you don't much care, do you? As long as you can have a night at home to watch all in the family, you don't much care, do you? As long as you've got food to eat and soda pop to drink and a car to drive and clothes to wear, let's don't shake the ship. The ship is already shaking. Rise up, O people of God. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord. Listen, the spirit of 52 people on the first Thanksgiving Day could still save this nation. Years ago, there was a king, a young king in the days of small nations, who had 500 warriors to fight a battle against an older king who had 3,000. Odds were against him. How could he have a chance? 500 versus 3,000, no chance at all. The older king sent a messenger over. And the messenger said, the king with 3,000 men tells you to give up before your entire group is wiped out and all your soldiers are killed. Give up! You don't have a chance. And the young king looked over to one of his men and said, take your dagger out! And the young man took his dagger out. He said, thrust it through your chest! The young man thrust it through his chest and fell dead. He pointed to another man and said, go jump in that chasm over there! Go jump! Commit suicide in that chasm. Jump in. The second soldier without hesitation ran and jumped in the chasm and fell to his death. The young king looked at the messenger and said, you go back and tell your king, I've got 498 more just like that. And you tell him, we will die, but we'll never surrender. That man went back with such a pale look on his face, told the king what he had seen and put the king in fear, and the king became disoriented. His army was routed and victory came to 500 men who would live and die like that. During World War II, King George VI of England was preparing to give a New Year's message. One of the most amazing things happened. One of the problems in America right now, at 12 minutes past 12 on Sunday morning, some of you morning glories have got to look at your watches because it's too late to stay in church. That's why America's going to hell. As long as somebody's here trying to rally a few people for American decency and right, you ought to be glad to stay here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon if needs be. King George VI, preparing to give a New Year's message by radio to all of England. The central broadcasting system was broadcasting it to the entire nation back in the darkest days of World War II. England had her backs to the wall. It seemed like defeat was inevitable. And there, just as they introduced the king, a cable broke. The engineer there in the central broadcasting system, and this is a true story, the engineer realized the king was about to speak. The engineer reached out and took one end of that broken cable with his left hand and one end with his right hand. And the message from the king traveled to all of England through the body of that one faithful engineer. His hands were burned. His body was wounded. But the message went out. There's nothing wrong with America that a bunch of people couldn't cure, who would take one hand and hold it up to God, the other hand and hold it on this book, and say, give me liberty or give me death. Which is the real America? I guess you just might put it this way. It just depends on which one you want and how bad you want it. Let us pray. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. No one is looking. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Your commander wants you to be willing to give everything. Everything. Which one do you want? Does it matter to you which is the real America? Does it make any difference to you? There are those this morning in this room, and I will please ask that there be no moving around whatsoever. There are those in this room who've never even taken time to give your life to God through Christ. You're not even a Christian. You don't even know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. There's not one thing you can do for your America, because this America was founded on God and His book. Why don't you make the 4th of July, Independence Day 1976, the day when you have your independence from sin, your independence from the devil, your independence from hell, your independence from the bondage and slavery of the evil one. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I may as well admit it, I'm not a Christian, or I do not know that I am. I wish I were. I'd like to be a Christian. Brother Hiles, pray for me. I want to know that I'm a Christian. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to be the kind of person that'll lead my country toward the old America we once knew. Would you lift your hand, please, and say, pray for me? All over the building, way up high. Lift your hand and I'll see it. Way up high. If you don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did, God bless you. God bless you in the balcony on my left. God bless you. Who else anywhere? God bless you upstairs in the center balcony. Who else anywhere in the house, upstairs or down, would say, include me when you pray. I do not know that I'm a Christian, but I wish I did. I want to know Christ. Yes, God bless you on the back of the balcony on my right. And God bless you, fella, in the balcony on my left. Yes, God bless you. I wonder who else would say, include me when you pray. I'd like to know that I'm saved. God bless you over here on my left. Yes. Who else would say, pray for me when you pray? I do not know that I'm a Christian, but I wish I did. Would you lift your hand? God bless you over here on my right on the lower floor. Who else anywhere in the house would say, include me when you pray? God bless you back here on my left. Yes, God bless you, young lady. I wonder who else would say, pray for me too. Yes, God bless you back here next to the aisle. Who else anywhere upstairs or down? Include me when you pray. Yes, God bless you on the back row on my left. Who else would say, pray for me too? I want to know that I'm a Christian. Would you lift your hand? God bless you, little lady. Who else would say, include me when you pray? Lift your hand way up high. God bless these, and I pray that each of them shall say yes to Jesus now. Make it so. Now with heads bowed, in just a few moments we're going to stand and sing, and I'll ask that no one leave. Please, 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 no one leave. The choir's going to sing, all to Jesus I surrender. when the choir sings it, I'm going to ask you who raised your hands and you who did not but should have. I want you to do something you'll never be sorry that you did. You'll always be glad that you did. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come to the nearest aisle and down to the front. I'm going to ask you to shake hands with one of these men at the front. We have some experts here that can show you the way to heaven. They'll show you how you can go to heaven when you die. Take their names and let them show you how to be saved. Upstairs in the balcony, I want you to come. Over here on my left upstairs, I want you to come. Wherever you are, just leave your seat when we stand and sing and come to the aisle and down to the front. If you're here this morning and you've already trusted Jesus at an earlier date, but you've never walked an aisle and made it public, then you do that. If you never have obeyed Christ in baptism, then you do that. If you need to transfer your membership to this Bible-preaching church that will always, as long as we're here, in our right mind, stand for the old America that it might be the new America, you come. God help you too. Father, bless the invitation. Fill these aisles with people that need to come. Amen. Shall we stand?